going to get right to it, so listen fast. Anyways, as Jeremy said, I've got roots here that go back more than 20 years, and I'm really grateful to be here today. It's always good to be here in Mechanicsville to be with my longtime spiritual family. And I appreciate the opportunities, just like the shotgun preachers yesterday, to share some words in this moment of reflection and fellowship. Leading up to Evelise and I's trip up here, I had been catching up a little bit with some of my longtime spiritual Virginia family. And in the course of doing so, one of the things that I had encouraged and communicated to them was to place great value in the local assembly and body of Christ and to not take it for granted. Because, we have nothing like it in Florida, and I often reflect on the many great years it was to be a part of this body here in Hanover. A little bit more on that momentarily. Some of you might have heard that I completed my first half marathon a few months back in February, and let me tell you, it was a lot of fun running for over 2 hours, especially the last 2 miles or so, and that was Dale language if you didn't catch up on that. Now, however, I want you to imagine yourself on a fitness journey. I'm sure some of you might be there already. Wherever that fitness journey is for you at this moment, imagine you just signed up for a Tough Mudder race, and you're perhaps on a team of 11 other people. Some individuals on that team are just starting their fitness journey like you. Some of them are more seasoned fitness pros. Albeit, each individual might have his own individual goals in mind, the overall goal is for the team to finish the race in the best possible time. In this situation, it's important for each individual to train, but also for the team to collectively train. Team members encourage, motivate, and inspire one another to push through the pain and to do their best. Well, the local assembly, of course, Christ's body, is far more important than a Tough Mudder race. But sometimes, despite that fact, it's just as easy to lose heart, resolve, and commitment, not only to oneself, but to the team. You can't be built up and encouraged if you're not plugging into the team, and you can't encourage and build up others if you're not plugging into the assembly. It reminds me of the story of the three amigos in the Old Testament who got thrown into the furnace. I'm sure you remember the why behind that, and I don't have time to go into that now, but let's boil it down to four words. They stood their ground. And they did so against a very powerful individual. Would each of those individuals have made that decision if they were doing so by themselves? You know, who knows? But either way, it was their faith, focus, and perhaps their friendship that got them through that precarious situation. I liken that to a micro example of the assembly or the body of Christ. And we know that there's strength in numbers. The point, we need each other, and more so than you might think. However, one thing I do want to point out on this point of mine when it comes to viewing the assembly as a team and partnership, especially that partnership as it pertains to evangelism, as Brandon pointed out the other day or last night, we are building blocks in this masterful design of the Lord's. And by the way, Brandon, great message wherever you're at if you're in here. When it comes to the body of Christ and the assembly, don't fixate on the perspective of it being on a micro level, meaning in just your local assembly. The body is obviously bigger than that. Here today is proof of that. And just like you have groups of people that compose your local assembly, we have many assemblies, many teams, if you will, forming one body, united under one Lord, one faith and one immersion, one God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. So don't get discouraged if the building blocks in your congregation aren't being added as often or quickly as you'd like to see. Just keep being the farmer you are called to be and scatter that seed, which is the word of God. And consider plugging into other congregations virtually. Evelise and I do that from time to time, and I'm sure it would be mutually beneficial time of encouragement and edification. Let's use the technology that God has provided for us. Paul reminds the saints in 2 Corinthians 4:18 that those who walk by faith not look at the things which are seen, but which are unseen. In 2 Corinthians 4:18, For the things which are temporal, but the things which are unseen are eternal. True life in this realm of eternal, and only those who are truly spiritual place the correct value on it. Looking at the unseen realm is like the hope we are assured because it is also unseen. Paul stated in Romans 8, 24 and 25, he said, "For in this hope we were saved, but hope that is seen is no hope at all. Who hopes for what they already have? But if we hope for what we do not have, we wait patiently for it." My point is, just like the spiritual realm we don't see, it is our faith that is the force behind our hope, because our hope is unseen, and for in this hope we are saved. Going back to my half marathon, my only goal was to finish. That was my hope. I hadn't seen the finish line. I knew it was there. I knew it was within reach. But I knew that I had to wake up at 4 a.m. I had to make about a 45-minute drive down to the site. And then, of course, I had to run about 2+ miles to reach my goal. Going back to that Tough Mudder illustration, the hope is the entire team, the entire unit finishing and helping each other out along the way. You know, the finish line is within reach, but there will be many muddy and precarious obstacles you must hurdle through and over and under first. It may or may not be fun in that moment, but that is all perspective and an attitude that you actually can control. But once you reach that finish line, victory. So friends, keep your eyes fixed on Jesus and the goal and hope of being in glory with him. Because if you don't, and little by little allow the goal to lose resolve or the hope begins to fade, that's when you start to waver and lose commitment and resolve. And the next thing you know, you've incrementally got yourself with one foot out of the door, so to speak. In the heart of the scriptures, we find a very important statement from our brother Paul, stated in Galatians 5:24. I'm just going to state a little part of it. Crucify the flesh with its passions and desires. A vivid metaphor, not for a battle against the external enemy, but for the internal struggle to overcome ourself for the purpose of becoming more like our King Jesus. This call to action is not about denying ourselves fun and things that please us, but about finding a deeper, more lasting joy in the pursuit of putting on the character of our King Jesus. You know, speaking of purpose, think of Noah, but not as a character in a story of survival, but as a symbol of faith and obedience. Building the ark wasn't just a physical task, it was a character and faith-building task. It was an act of profound trust in God's promise. Each day, as we face our own floods, or even in our victories, let us remember that our faith, our daily actions, and our commitment to renewing our minds are the materials that we use to build our own arks. These are not burdens, but blessings that prepare us to navigate the waters of life. God's promise to the Christian is, if we have faith and put in the work of renewing the mind and participating in the sanctification process as we are called to do, we will be transformed into his image. Just as physical fitness requires discipline and dedication, so too does our spiritual health demand our attention and sincere desire to grow closer to God. He not only wants your partnership in evangelism, but needs your partnership through faith in the sanctification process that doesn't really happen without renewing your mind. Like a tree, which of course is an illustration from the scriptures, or like training for the Tough Mudder, we are incrementally growing and getting closer to our goal and becoming more like Jesus, or we're not. So grow, friends, grow, because we know what happens to a tree that doesn't bear fruit. Romans 12:2 challenges us to be transformed by the renewing of our minds. A reminder that our journey is one of continual growth and renewal, shaped not by the world's expectations, but by God's will and purpose for our lives. Speaking of journeys, Think about the invitation that Moses received to meet God on the mountaintop. The top of Mount Sinai is somewhere around 7,500 feet in elevation. The Lord tells Moses, I'll meet you at the top, and Moses accepts that 7,500-foot climb. Can you imagine if he were to say to you, I'll meet you at the top? Can you imagine if he said, Josiah, you and me, we have an appointment, he says. I'll meet you at the top at 2:45, and by the way, bring that climbing wife of yours. Now, do you want to go? It's a hostile climb, and there may be some inclement weather involved, but are you really going to make that trek? I mean, this is your chance to put all that fitness we've been discussing to work. Or, of course you'd make the climb. Wouldn't you want to go? Wouldn't you want to see all that glory? Folks, we have the opportunity right now to behold the glory in the face of Christ through the scriptures in a way that was more powerful than Moses ever even dreamed or could have imagined. And you don't even have to make the 7,500-foot climb. Are we putting in the effort? The process of renewing the mind has to be done continually. It would be easier to make the climb to put in rather than to put in the effort to being face to face with God every day in the intimate relationship that He so wants from you and I. If we want to be a reflection of Jesus, as Paul wrote, we must be transformed through the mirror by repeatedly gazing into the eyes and mind of Christ through His Word. It's His Word that works in us as and through us, as Paul also states. Lastly, on transformation, and to begin to wrap up, it's if you're not gazing into the face of Christ through the scriptures and putting in that spiritual work through physical effort, you won't be transformed. I mean, do you really expect to be? Do you expect to finish a half marathon or a Tough Mudder without any training? Do you expect to get a suntan or a burn without being in the sun? Do you expect to become a mighty soldier or a warrior without completing boot camp? You know, I don't know about you, but I was very encouraged by Brother Barry Gant's message. Diligent effort was essentially the theme. And working because heaven is on your mind. You know, Barry, your zeal is something that the saints need to model, and I'm certainly including myself in that statement. I really appreciate you, your example for us men to follow, Barry. Diligent effort will be required of your transformation and of mine. How bad do we want it, saints? Let me conclude. If you want to turn to Hebrews 11, I'm going to read the last couple of verses, and you'll find perhaps verse 41 and 42 in the margin. Talk about all these epic men and women of faith. He concludes by stating, these were all committed for their faith, yet none of them received what had promised. God had something planned better for us, so that only together with us would they be made perfect. Then you might find in your margin, it says, by faith, the promise, which was a mystery hidden for ages, was given to men and women such as Tim Price, Brian Saunders, Josiah Sutton, Jamie Saunders, Sherry Hostetter, Diane O'Kelly, Barry Gant, Robin Gant, Sue Nguyen, and by faith they crucified the flesh, mastering their flesh, making no provisions for the flesh. By faith they set their minds on what the Scripture desires. They fixed their eyes on Jesus in glory, because those who are led by the Spirit of God are sons of God, and those who are born of God have overcome the world. We are the people Ezekiel prophesied about, who would not only be a resurrected army, but who would also vindicate God's holy name by being holy. Just like our fitness goals and allowing time to pass to see fruit bear from those efforts, let us remember the same applies for being transformed into His likeness, meaning the character of Christ and through renewing our minds. We will reap what we sow, and just like the harvester must patiently wait and tend to his plants to optimize the success of his harvest, let us remember to not only spur one another along with intentional acts of love and edification, but to not lose heart, to not lose sight of what we are sowing, as incrementalism works both ways. So stay on course, friends. Stay on course. Thanks.